Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome to Woman to Woman. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and it's a blessing, as always, to be with you on today. I'll be joined today by my co-host, Biblical Life Coach Tina Mel, and also Prophetess Angie Singletary, who are both of these women are a blessing to me. Amen. I want to encourage you to let somebody know that Woman to Woman is on the air. Amen. Hallelujah. That they want to come over and fellowship with the women who will be joining together on today. I am certain that God has something great in store for us as we go forward in the Lord. God is good all of the time, and all of the time God is good, and he is worthy. Oh, yes, he is worthy to be praised. Amen. There is none like him, and I just worship him on today. I'm just so happy to be called the child of the Most High God. You know, there's so much going on in the world on today, but I am encouraged in knowing that God has everything under control. God is not slack. He is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent and change his mind about the plans that he has for you or the plans that he has for me. So we can be encouraged on today, knowing from our experience with God that he will never leave us, nor will he ever forsake us, but he is always with us. And we can hold our heads up high, not worrying about tomorrow, because, you know, tomorrow really does have enough worries of its own, but really having a full assurance that God is going to take care of everything that we need him to take care of pertaining to today. Amen. So I thank God for today. I thank God for this broadcast. I thank God for you who are listening, you who are tuning in on today. I thank God for my co-hosts who are calling in. I thank God for life. Amen. For life today. You know, I thank God for newness of life. Amen. How about that? That we don't have to live our lives the way that we used to live, and we don't have to do the stuff that we used to do, but we can praise God because in Christ he has given us newness of life. He has given us newness of life, a clean slate. He has allowed us to start over, to have a brand new life in him. And that is just such a wonderful, wonderful thing that we are new creations in Christ Jesus. So, hey, I think that's something to celebrate. I think that that is something to get excited about. Amen. Amen. And praise God. So, again, welcome. I'm going to bring on my co-hosts. I believe that they are here. Amen. Hallelujah. And just begin to minister with each other. The chat room is open. Chat room is open. So you can come into the chat room and fellowship with us as well. And I want to just check in on these lines. Area 602, I believe, and I know that that is Tina Michelle. God bless you, woman of God.
God bless you. God bless you. Good morning.
Good morning. So great to hear your voice. I only get to hear your voice once a week. I know that we have to find a way to connect, but it's always good to hear your voice on these Thursdays.
Oh yeah, I look forward to it. I look forward to it, and it's funny because now it's 10 o'clock for me, so it's right in the middle of my morning, and I love it. So I get to make my cup of tea and go talk
Amen.
To the women.
Amen. Tea time on Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I see Prophetess in the chat room. Prophetess, are you also on the line? I believe that this is Prophetess here on the line. Let's put her on the air. Amen. God bless you, woman of God. Good morning.
God bless you. It's me. I just dialed in.
Good morning. You showed up under a different area code. Actually, you're all ones.
All ones? Well, I'm on my overflow line. I try to keep my main line open and kind of watch
Amen.
The calls as they come. Mm-hmm.
Amen. I guess that's prophetic.
Amen.
10 ones, area code 111 followed by 7 ones. So 3 ones followed by 7. Hey. Amen. You're number one today.
All right.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the
and
Lord.
You say it's overflow line. It's
That overflow line.
Yeah.
Keep the main line open.
I keep it open every week. I keep the main line open.
That's
good. That's some good stuff, ladies. Amen. I got Jesus on the main line. Amen. We got to keep that one open. That can preach. And the overflow, yeah, that's a whole sermon in itself.
How about that?
My God. How about it? And we want to welcome guest 912 to the chat room as well. Amen. Guest 912, we welcome you to Woman. And if you can chat, I don't know if you're able to chat, but if you can chat, you can go ahead and begin to chat with us. Amen. Hallelujah. So ladies, we're going to open in prayer. We have to cover this broadcast with prayer, and then we can just go ahead and move on and move forward.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you. You are worthy to be praised. There's none like you. And we just magnify your name today, God. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, Lord, for being in our midst as two or more are assembled. You said that you two would be us. We thank you, Lord, for the women who are coming, Father God, the women who are listening via stream and via the archive, and even the men, God. And we ask that you would bless each and every person that listens, Father God. Let not one word that is spoken fall to the ground, and let the words of our mouths, Father God, be acceptable unto you, Father God. We love you, we bless your name, and we ask that you save souls, change lives, and set the captive free. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. God bless you, Alicia G. It's good to see you. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. He's good.
All the time.
Amen.
And he's worthy to be praised. You know, ladies, have you been watching the news? You know, one thing that caught my attention over this last few days is the news.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching where the governor of Illinois, I believe, was put in prison, was locked up for trying to sell Barack President-elect Obama's Senate seat.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually locked up for trying to sell that seat. And now they're, you know, trying to involve, I believe, Jesse Jackson Jr. As one of the people who were involved. But he has not been accused of any wrongdoing. He has just been named as one of the people, I guess, that he wanted to present the seat to. But isn't that something? You know, when you get to the point where you want to sell a political seat.
Mm-hmm.
I find it more curious that he got caught, because I don't think he made that up.
you find it more curious that he got caught? You didn't think he would get caught? You don't think that it would have been that easy for him to get caught?
No, I don't think it would be that easy for it to be something of public scrutiny. It's not a new practice. And not that it's legitimate or ethical, that what he did, but it's not like he made that crime up. He didn't make that crime up.
My God.
He didn't make it up. I just find the timing quite interesting. And with the inauguration coming, there's some projects that I'm working on in reference to the inauguration. That has slowed everything down.
Wow. Well, I can imagine that it has had an impact on a lot of things leading to the inauguration, and also the fact that, you know, there are so many things that are going on since we have made history with having the first African-American president of the United States. I mean, they're actually trying to tickets. I know they're selling tickets for the inauguration, which we all know that those tickets are
fraudulent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, the room, the hotels and motels in that area are committing highway robbery because they've jacked up the prices
of
the lodging. I mean, wow. everybody's looking to make a buck. One of the things that this governor has been said to have said is that he needed to make some money. He wanted to make money. And it looks like all of the crooks are coming out of the crannies. All of the crooks are coming out of the woodwork, you know, to try to make a dollar on this historical event that's coming up.
That's right. It's true. It's true. And it's interesting that we're watching this come up, and everything is riddled with such controversy. And then you have to remember that Congress is still in session in reference to the bailout. So all of this is going on simultaneously. You have the bailouts happening, right? And that discussion happening on Capitol Hill. You have the transition of power going on, and then you have these controversies happening.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of stuff going on all at the same time.
So,
to see what the real thing God wants us to look at, because when I see all this confusion, I'm always looking to see what's not being talked about that's happening.
Mm.
Because there's a lot of different places to place our attention right now.
And that's it right there, confusion.
Right.
And that's what we know, the confusion is not of the Lord, the confusion
Amen.
Is definitely of the devil.
Yeah.
But we have to look, like Tina Michelle said, what is it that God wants us to focus on? What does he want us to focus on during the season when so much is going on with the bailout? And you know, the bailout, another thing, how effective do you believe that the bailout actually is?
I mean, for me personally, and I'm sure other people feel the same way, I can't be the only one, that the people who are being bailed out are white-collar criminals. They're white-collar criminals. I mean, at the first implication, I mean, the first insinuation of them getting help, then there was one of the companies had a party that was worth $500,000 shortly after that, right? So to me, that's just motivating criminals to be. So, and I didn't get a phone call. Did you get a phone call to find out if you're having problems with your bills? So that
nobody.
Nobody called me.
No one called me. I'm waiting. I'm still waiting for that call. I have three phones here, and I'm still waiting for that call. We know that our source is definitely not going to be the government during this season. God is going to move the hands of those that he needs to move in the area of his children. You know, we know that God provides. You know, he is our provider. And, you know, just to break it down to a practical sense, those white-collar criminals that are being bailed out, I mean, hey, you know, the thing of the matter is that all the money in the world is not going to be able to help them.
Amen.
And it's not about helping them. And so, you know, I made a decision even about that one. I said, that has nothing to do with me. So when people want to talk to me about a bailout, that has nothing to do with me. Because they're not my source. Obviously, they're not interested in how my provision is running. So I'm going to focus on God again. That's just another confusion, you know, or emotional convolution. That's what I've been calling it, just convolution.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with me. So what should I be focusing on is how God is moving in my house, in my life, and how I can benefit the community that I'm directly impacting. Because all those decisions were made without my assistance.
Yes, that's the truth. And we have to just know that we have to keep our focus. As I mentioned, I started talking about the news, and we were talking about what's going on, because every time that I turn on my computer with AOL, I get all of this news. And one of the things that I noticed that's been plastered across the front page is this thing with the governor. And another thing that I noticed today, not so prevalent, was this thing that they're calling sexting. Have you all heard of sexting?
Sexting?
Yes, sexting. S-E-X-T-I-N-G.
I don't think I've heard of that.
Yeah, I mean, I found that to be amazing, where these young girls and boys are texting new pictures of themselves using their cell phones. So they're exposing body parts using their cell phones, and they're texting these messages to, I guess the girls are texting the boys are texting the girls, and it's just it's amazing that they're using this technology for that, which goes back to what I was saying, that what I want to say, and I've always said, I haven't said it on broadcast, but I'll say it today, your children don't need these telephones with cameras attached to them, you know. And also, I have always said about the computers, we should not have computers in our children's rooms which have internet capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are, our children are being exposed to too much too soon with very little or no supervision surrounding it. And I'm amazed. My daughter is 10 years old, and I'm amazed at how many of her friends actually have not only cell phones, but they have cell phones with cameras, that they have the ability to do this text stuff. And if they can send out a text photo, then they certainly can receive a text photo. And how many predators do we have out there who are looking to begin to send pornography not only over the internet, but now through our children's telephones? Which our children, I don't believe they should have them in the first place. So, and go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, unless they're being monitored, you know, you have to monitor these devices that, the children have.
Yes. Yes.
Personal devices. I mean, one thing that I remember talking hard to a lot of parents about, because we don't understand that these things, first of all, the MP3 players, all those audio devices, we don't really know what the kids are listening to, and it's piping straight into their head,
their
head. There's no filter in between will, reaction, and what they're listening to, which is very scary to me. Second of all, a lot of the content that they hear on the radio, like I've heard a few kids do this with parents, and I told the parents to double check it. The kids will say, oh, we heard it on the radio. It was clean on the radio. The children are giving you the radio edit. And then they download the song, and the parent thinks it's okay. And then the song without the radio edit is a nasty, dirty song.
Mm.
And it's piping straight through their heads. And the kids know what they're doing. These are 10 or 11-year-olds. When it comes to internet and anything like that, if you will not let your child go on an airplane by themselves, go to a completely different country, and feel like they're not able to do that, then you know that your child is not ready to be on a globally accessed network of people by themselves.
Right. Well, for all of these,
I look at
with strangers, whatever happened to don't talk to strangers? Yeah, you know, and I want the women to call in. You know, we're talking about, you know, different topics on today, but as you're thinking about it, whatever happened to don't talk to strangers? We used to tell our kids, don't, and I still tell my kids, don't talk to strangers. But when you allow your child to go on a chat room or to go on MySpace, there's so many children have MySpace account, and MySpace is, I believe you have to be 16 or 18 in order to have a MySpace account. So we have now 12-year-olds who are lying about their ages on MySpace and create a MySpace at 12, and now you're posing as a 16-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so much garbage on MySpace. You know, I mean, yes, I am on MySpace. I'm doing ministry out there.
Right.
But there's a lot of garbage out there. And if you're not there monitoring your child and checking on MySpace account, then you are opening up your child to be susceptible to a predator. And I'm very, because, you know, that's, I'm passionate about that. I'm very concerned about that.
Okay. And I agree. Because, I mean, just like I said, if you wouldn't put them on the plane and just send them to France by themselves with no guardian, they won't even let you put your child on the plane unless there's a parental guardian there, right, or some kind of a guardian, even an airplane guardian. Why would you let them talk to people? There's really no way of tracing who they really are all day long. I mean, my daughter, you know, she's used to the fact that when she wants to chat with her little friend, I'm sitting right there. She's right next to me.
Yeah.
She can talk to her little friends, you know, from New York and everything else. There's certain sites she can't get on. I control the wireless network in my house. They cannot get on the internet unless they have permission. They're doing research to show me where they're going. I keep all the security tracking codes in place. I always tell them, if you don't want me to pull this out at the Thanksgiving table with your grandma, to show people where you've been, what your history is, then don't go there.
Right, exactly. Because the thing about it is you need supervision, because there are even these predators, and we're talking about predators today, as you can see, they are even going into these places that are just dedicated to children, and they are posing as children. I was shocked to find on last week that a minister from a big church down in Texas was actually picked up from a sting, as a sting, part of a sting, that he was picked up meeting a young minor child. I think the child was 12, and he had posed as a child in the chat room that was designated for children, mm-hmm. and he met this young girl, and he had condoms in his car, he had a video camera, and he had sex tapes, pornography, in his car, and he also had some Christian tracks. So this thing appalled me. I was appalled to find that this prominent, this minister from this prominent church was actually out there doing that. So you can't, it shows you that you can't trust anybody.
Amen.
With your
Amen.
Children. My God.
Mm-hmm.
You can't.
I don't get it, because I see some kids, I mean, they're, like you said, but Kayla's how old?
Kayla is 10.
Yeah, so she's a little younger than Kai. And I remember when Kai was in fourth grade and fifth grade, she would say, well, this one has a cell phone and this one has a cell phone, and why can't I have this or that? It's because I'm not their mama.
Right. Amen.
Why
Amen.
You're not going to have something that could make you vulnerable. And so the way I was able to explain it to her, she stopped, you know, being upset and feeling like a victim, you know, how they, you're ruining my life. You know.
Well, that's what, right. That's what parents are supposed to do. Yeah, that's right. Right, prophetess?
Yes,
That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to ruin your life.
Right.
So I told her,
my God.
Not about you. I love you, and at your age, you are exactly where you need to be.
Right.
But there are people in this world that are where they are, and I don't know them. So
yes.
They make me feel comfortable, and I have a responsibility before God and the other grown-ups in this family to make sure that you are taken care of. So I can do my job well. Work with me in partnership here so that we can make sure that you stay away from them other folk. It's about mm-hmm. them other folk, because you are exactly where you need to be, baby. It's not that I don't trust you where you are as a 10 or 11-year-old. You're perfect as you are.
Right.
It's them folk.
Yeah, because what does the Bible tell us, prophetess? You know, what does the Bible tell us about raising children?
Raise them up in the way that they should go. You know, as long as we teach them right, we let them know the principles. You know, my son, he's 19, thank God, you know. I really didn't have to deal with that too much. But even, I don't think he received a cell phone until he was, like, in the 11th grade. And, you know, even then, you know, we had words about it. You know, it's not to be used in school, blase, blase. But it wasn't a camera phone. It was a plain cell phone.
Right.
So that if I had to get in touch with you, so I didn't have to deal with all of that, what these children are up against today. But, it's, you know, it's just a shame, because we have these innocent children, you know. And, you know, some parents, they're you know, they cave in to what their kids want. But there's a price to pay when we give them everything that they cry out for.
Yes.
It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing.
Right. Amen. And, you know, we think about our children as these precious little innocent bundles, but they are, like you said, so susceptible to outside influences,
mm-hmm.
because they're not old enough yet to determine what the right and wrong thing is
mm-hmm.
to do. Now, when I think about these kids, 13, 14 years old, taking pictures of their just still developing private parts.
Right, right.
You know, taking pictures of their private parts, and they're sending these pictures via text message to other people. And you know that one person gets it, they're going to send it to somebody else. So now your private parts are moving all around the world. And what you deem to be innocent now has become an embarrassment to you. And
mm-hmm.
even these 16 years old, you're going to take take a picture and send it to your boyfriend and think that he's not going to share it with nobody else. But then you guess what? You're going to break up with that boy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to send it to somebody else. That's why I can't understand people laying down, making sex tapes. You know, I mean, I've seen it. Mm-hmm. People making sex tapes and taking new pictures. And then you break up with the person. And guess what? Now you're on the market. They're selling those tapes and they're spreading your stuff all over the world. But we know that sex outside of marriage is not supposed to be anyway. So
Amen. We
don't have that problem as women, right?
Amen. Amen.
We're not running around having sex, so much less making a sex tape. But
Amen.
I want to just talk about phones, you know, getting these phones out of the hands of our children, because I thought for it. I wanted to talk about it, and I wanted to encourage women and men, anybody who hears me, if your child is under 18, let's say 17, your child is under 17 years old and they have a cell phone with a camera on it, I want to encourage you to swap. To swap out of that cell phone with the camera and get them a regular cell phone. They don't need the camera. Get them a digital camera. If you want them to have a camera, go ahead and make the investment and buy a digital camera. They're not that much. It does not cost that much, but to have the capability. And then, again, take away the you might say, well, digital camera, they could still take pictures and upload it into the computer and text it over the computer. And that's true. You can email it over the computer. So, again, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to challenge you to take the computer with the internet out of your child's room and to supervise your child when your child is on the internet. Mm-hmm. And make sure that your child knows the rules. The rules are you do not surf the net. You don't. Our kids don't need to be surfing the net. If they're doing research, that's one thing, but to just be out there, that's a whole nother story. And I just wanted to just bring that out, just to talk about that and to challenge parents to be more aware. Let me tell you how predators are. We didn't have internet. I'm 47 years old. Hello to everyone in the chat room. God bless you all. Welcome to Woman to Woman. Pastor Anthony. Bless you, everybody that's with us on today. But I'm going to tell you a story. I'm writing about this in my new book. When I was a kid, I'm 47 years old. So 37 years ago, 35 years ago, when I was 10, between the ages of 10 and 12, actually 10 and 14. So between the ages of 10 and 14, I was exposed to predators, and it was just so horrible for me.
Mm-hmm.
I remember walking to school, and it was like only a block away from my house to the school as a young girl of like 10 or 11 years old. And there would be a car parked on the street, and I would walk to school, and I would hear, and I would turn my head. And there would be a man sitting in the car, you know, doing like this, beckoning to me with his finger, telling me to come, come to him. And I would take off running. And then as I got older, I would be on my way to Barrington High School in Newark. So I had to walk. I was in high school now, so I was walking a little bit further. We had to walk about 15 school, but we had to cut through this field, and we had to cut through the park. We didn't have to, but we would. We would take a shortcut.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was cutting through the field, this empty lot, there were trees over to the through the park. There were trees to the side, and I would hear, you know. It only happened once each time when I was 10, and then again when I was about 40, I heard. And I looked over towards where the sound was coming from, and it was a man in the tree, but he had stepped out of the trees and was standing there at spots where he was just actually, you know, playing with himself. And that's why I'm saying this stuff terrified me as a child. I was like, oh, my God, what? And I was so scared. I was scared of my own shadow, and I ran all the way to school, and I stopped taking the shortcut and started walking the long way to school. But I was scared going to school and coming from school. Every parked car was a fight for me because I didn't know what was sitting in that parked car.
Right.
Every tree.
Mm-hmm.
I was scared of the trees, my God. And that's what I'm saying. They are still out there.
Oh, yeah, yes.
My God. They're still out there. Mothers, fathers, the predators are still out there. So you just protect your child. That's what I'm saying. Protect your child.
Amen.
Make no excuses about it. Make no excuses about it. Because there's two sides of the conversation. It's one, empowering your child to understand right from wrong, right? So me and Shekinah, and even with my son, we go through these exercises with the predators. But when other parents say, you know, you need to just relax and do this, no. Mm-mm. I'm not going to relax. You're going to give me another child if something happens? You're going to answer to God for me when I know I should have done X, Y, and Z, but just because all the other kids are doing it, you know, I'm going to let my child? No. I'm her mommy. I'm his mommy. I'm anointed to know what I need to do for my child. Otherwise, God wouldn't have given me this child to steward over.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and for parents to even take a stand and not fall into peer pressure, also to take a stand in their own schedules and know when you're just too busy, you're not paying attention to your kids, because sometimes bad press is better than no press.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes children will get into something because they want the attention.
Right.
And the third thing is about purity. The same stories that I'm hearing, part of me is that I'm happy to see this come to the surface. Why? Because I've been talking to parents who have children in the 8th grade, in the 6th grade, in the 7th grade, who are pregnant. These kids are not monitored from 3 to 7 o'clock p.m. They call it the wild out hour. This has been for years. In Rockdale, Maryland, there was a story from the CDC that showed that these 6th and 7th graders have an outbreak of venereal diseases. Why?
Syphilis,
Their parents are at work from 3 o'clock p.m. to 7 o'clock. We're not talking about sneaking out at midnight. They were having sex parties. They were copying the moves on the porn channel. They were bringing DVD. Why? Because they're still children. They're still playing. So now they're playing with their bodies. So this is an extension. What they do on the texting and what they do on the cell phone is an extension of their own conversation, their own play, having their friendship bracelets, going behind bleachers and doing certain things with boys. In middle school, which was more rampant in middle school than high school, because in high school there's a little more emotional maturity. Middle school have these developed bodies and they're doing whatever. So for me, my job, and this is for my conviction, is to talk to children about purity. About being walking before God in a manner that is respectful, because then you won't put it on your cell phone. You won't write it in a hidden note. You're not going to do it after school. That handles the whole conversation.
Right. Train up a child. That goes right back to the scripture.
That's right.
That we have to train. Yeah, we have to train our children to make the right choices. We have to train our children to choose between right and wrong.
Amen.
We cannot give all of our responsibility to the teachers or to the preachers. We cannot give all of our responsibility to our children's peers. We have to, or to television. We have to train our children at home, and it really does start at home. We have to talk to our kids about sex. You know, my oldest daughter, she's 30. She told me that I didn't talk to her about sex when she was a child. I just told her, don't come home pregnant. And, you know, I mean, I wasn't in my right mind. I have to admit it. I was not in my right mind as a parent during that season in my life, and I may not have talked to her about sex. I don't remember. I do remember telling her not to come home pregnant, because that's what my mama told me. But the thing about it is, I will make sure that I'm talking to this one that's 10 and this one that's 16 about sex, and that they are not to experiment with sex, that they are to stay virgins until they are married, that they are to stay pure until they are married, and to encourage them in their relationship with God, because that's the only thing that's going to keep our children, not that they're stepchildren, not that their relationships is an extension of our relationship, but that they have their own relationship with God.
Exactly. And I look at my son, you know, people say, oh, that's good in theory. The kids are going to do what they're going to do. Absolutely, they're going to do what they're going to do. But you've got to give them information. And the people that I found who were the most ignorant were not the kids. It was the parents. The parents were afraid to have the conversation. So when I would do these live interactions, and Pastor Rebecca, prophetess, you know, people like us are needed because we're wrong. We're wrong. We just say what we have to say. A lot of the little events that we would go to, I would just bring my slides. This is chlamydia. This is HPV. These are warts. This is what it looks like.
Wow.
You need to understand this. Then I tell the parents that 1 out of 5 eighth graders that I talk to in the metropolitan New York area has HPV.
Jesus.
Has HPV. Pete, 1 out of 5. That means their chances of being sterile before the 11th grade is 70%.
Mm. Yeah, and that also leads to cervical cancer.
Exactly.
That also leads to cervical cancer. If you have that HPV, you will have to discard yourself. Not guard, but you have to get those paps and make sure that you're in the doctors, because you could actually develop cervical cancer. But, you know, the great thing about it is that information is power, and that, you know, we have to just make sure that we're putting that information out there. And that's what we wanted to do on today. The phone lines are open. We want to open up the phone lines, 646-652-4832. We have talked about a couple of topics on today. One was the governor trying to sell the Senate seat that's been vacated by President-elect Barack Obama. And the other was we talked about this sexting, where our children are sending pictures of themselves, and people perish for lack of knowledge. That's why we have to talk to our children. So that's one thing that we were talking about. And the last thing that I want to talk about, I want to put another topic on the table, is everybody's coming out of the closet. I mean, what is up with that?
That is a mess. That's what that is.
Oh, goodness. Oh, God. I mean, what is going on? I was watching, well, again, it's the news. My AOL is my news source. But they have these videos, the top 5 videos. One was Wanda Sykes. Is that her name, Wanda Sykes?
Yes, Wanda.
The actor who has come, she's 40-something, and she has come out of the closet, and she's, you know, oh, she's on the night show, late night show, and she's talking about, you know, her partner, you know, coming to have sex in the middle of this man's living room, and he's saying, no, that would be fine with me. You know, freaks, you know, just freaks. I mean, I just have to call it like it is.
Right.
You know, some people are just too freaky for their own good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was watching, I don't even know who these people are, Christine, because I don't watch a lot of regular TV, but they were both saying, the one woman was saying, women, you got to be careful. You got to be careful, women, because this demon spirit will try to seduce you and make you think that you are gay. You may be saying, I'm not gay, with your mouth, and this demon, you will be saying, this demon spirit will come and try to seduce you. And this is what I watched happen. The one girl said, I'm not gay. I guess they were roommates. And the other girl said, I'm not gay either. And the girl said, I'm not gay. And she said, I'm not gay. She said, let's say it at the same time. And they both saying, I'm not gay. And then the one girl went up and grabbed the other girl and kissed her and began to feel all over her. And the other girl was trying to get free, you know. But when she finally gets free, she's breathless. And she says, what just happened? You know, what the heck? Well, I want to throw something. What do you mean? What just happened? You
okay.
were just molested. That's
right.
just what happened. You were just violated.
Right.
That's what just happened. You should be punching her in the face. I'm sorry. But that demon, I mean, that devil is a liar. You know, punch her and repent later. I'm sorry. You kiss me, and you're a woman, or you're a man, and you hit my husband.
That is not right.
I'm getting ready to hit you. Getting ready to hit you.
Jesus.
I know violence is not the way, but I ain't going to be breathless. I'm going to be mad.
But I'm telling you, Pastor, because it would have been a fight. It would have been a struggle to get you away from me quick. It would have been a struggle to get you away.
I'm sitting here shaking my head, and I'll never forget, because, and this was even before I came to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, but I went to college in the village, you know. I went to New York University. So, yeah, all kinds of people, you know, in New York University, you know, in the village. And I'm hanging out with my friends, and some of them were straight, some of them were great, whatever, the artist community. And this one woman that I knew, she decided to tell me that night that she was gay. She decided to tell me that night. I was sitting there with me and my friend Valerie, and she proceeded to begin to try to touch me. Now, normally I was looking very cute, you know. know, you go to the club, you know, you're young, looking cute. Do you know how fast I kicked my heels off, popped off the press off nails? I had the little thing, my little bobby pin holding up my hair. I was like, who got that, Celine? Let's go.
No.
Do not touch me. And so my girlfriend's like, Tina, we didn't even know that was in you. I said it was instinct. It was instinct because I felt the violation. But it was, I kicked off those shoes so fast. I think Patrick Rebecca was like 2 seconds. She was tied up, pressed on nails, was popped off.
Yeah, and we're laughing about it, you know, and we're laughing about it. But as I'm looking in the chat room, Kim Yan Zen is saying that she knew a man who was gay, and he came to her to talk about his struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked over time, and this young man eventually went back to church. And you're right, it is a struggle. But the sad part about it, Kim Yan, is that a lot of these people do not admit that it is a struggle. It is a struggle. I too had a friend who was gay, and she did not let me know that she was gay. She came to work, and we used to go to lunch together and flirt with the guys. We used to go out and walk downtown Newark and flirt with the men, and she got more attention than I did. She's a pretty girl.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go back to work and laugh about it, but then they had a party that they invited us to, and she wanted to let us know that she and her roommate were not actually roommates, but they were, even back then, 15, 20 years ago, they were husband and wife. And I was upset with her because she wasn't real with me to let me know from the beginning that this was the situation. I was not homophobic. I have never been homophobic.
Mm-hmm.
I know who I am, and I don't judge or hate people.
Right.
Even back in the day, I didn't know I had a problem with a man that was in the closet and didn't let me know that he was in the closet. That led to some animosity on my part. But, you know, for women, I would have liked her to be upfront with me, but she did. When I came to Christ and I evangelized her and tried to get her to give her life to Christ, she told me, she said, Rebecca, she said, Beck, she used to call me Beck, she said, you don't understand. She said, this person is not just my lover, this person is my best friend. Mm-hmm. And if I turn away from my homosexual, if I come to God, she said, if I come to Jesus, I have to give up my homosexual lifestyle. And she said, and I'm not just giving up a lifestyle, but I'm giving up I will lose my best friend. You know, she said, my struggle is greater than yours. Struggle was just different men. She said, my struggle is, this is my best friend. So they know it. I believe that deep inside that they know it's a struggle. But a lot of people who are struggling with this lifestyle, with this issue, do not want to admit that it's a struggle. So I do agree with what Kim Yan was saying, that it is a struggle.
Yes.
And Kim Yan says that we all struggle
with something.
That's
right.
My God.
It's true.
So she said we should all, she said we all should know that fear is the biggest devil on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I like what she's saying. She says that's why she's a street minister, my God.
Mm-hmm.
And that the people out there need someone, and she's not afraid to be out there amongst them ministering the best way I know how.
Praise
and
God.
Dana Neal says, keep going with that, Kim Yan. Keep going, because everybody has a calling, and her calling is to be a God bless you, Kim Yan. So
mm-hmm.
nice to meet you. Prophet, you were going to say something?
No, but, you know, the sad part is basically in line with what you're saying, because we have a lot of leaders, a lot of preachers that are dealing with the struggle. So it's like you're standing there in God's pulpit, you're dealing with that struggle, but are you really crying out to really be delivered from that spirit?
Yeah, and I, you know, I'm going to jump right all over that because, you know, I mean, it's time to sit down. It's time to sit down.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you're going to be kicked out of the kingdom, not that you cannot receive ministry, but that you have a struggle of homosexuality, adultery, being a child predator, fornication, and you're not married,
mm-hmm.
Drunkenness, any sexual sins or sins of the flesh, and you know that thing has a hold on you, sit yourself down.
Wow.
Sit yourself down. Nobody is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? That stuff, just like the oil flow in the head, Aaron's beard,
mm-hmm.
that thing, you're gonna be ministering that thing into the lives of the people, because there's an anointing that you need to have when you're standing up. And you know this, prophetess.
Yes.
And you also, Tina Michelle, there's mm-hmm. an anointing that you need to have when you're standing minister, and when you're standing to minister, you're the first one that you need to have received that ministry
mm-hmm.
before you even get up there and begin to preach to somebody. You can't preach about sin if your whole life is reaped in sin. I mean,
right.
you just Amen. You're not going to do it.
That's
you're
right.
not. You'll
right.
skip all over that. You won't be able to preach about tithing if you're not a tither.
That's right.
You'll be like, I'm not touching. Prophetess taught a Bible study last night, and she stood there flat-footed. She stood there flat-footedly, and she was able to preach on tithing, to teach on tithing, because she's a tither.
That's right.
But you know, if you're not a tither, nobody, and you're in the congregation, you know you're not tithing, you're not going to be able to get up and even take the tithe, much less teach on the tithe.
That's right. And see, the thing is, Pastor, people stay away from those things. They don't stand there and say things in regards to what they're still in. So they'll talk about something else, another area. But
yes.
you cannot, it's just like you said, you cannot say, stand up there and tell somebody that you should be married and then you're not married.
Yes.
How can you counsel someone and you're not married?
Right.
How
Amen.
Can you how can you tell somebody about giving and sowing in the kingdom and if you're not doing it?
Yes. I so agree with that. And how
yes.
can you tell somebody about sin? And not sin, not to have sex and you're not married, not to
right.
have sex with another woman. Not to try to seduce a man and you're a man, you know, not to try to seduce another woman and you're a woman, not to touch a child. Then you can't, you can't teach that if you're all caught up in it. And
right.
it's just like you said, and
That's
I'm
right.
glad you brought that up, prophetess,
mm-hmm.
there are too many people in the pulpit. And their lives are reaped in sin because they have been birthed improperly. They have been birthed into the kingdom, but they have not really been birthed into the kingdom. In other words, they have had a church experience.
Mm-hmm.
They have come. They have confessed Christ the best way that they knew how.
Uh-huh.
But they have come to confess Christ from a ministry that was not a legitimate ministry. And when I say illegitimate, what I mean is that the preacher that preached to them was not right.
Right, right.
You know, the preacher that preached to them wasn't even saved.
Right.
And we got a lot of preachers out there that are not saved. I mean, they're just not saved. They want to be. They would like to be, but they have not had the gospel preached to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they have not received that true gospel. They have not had a circumcision of the heart. They have not been filled with the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and they have not turned away from their sin.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have the Bible tells us that a bad tree cannot bring forth good fruit.
That's right.
You know, so we need to begin to do a self-examination. None of us are perfect.
Amen.
But Paul said it in the best way that I can hear. He said, I'm be mastered by anything,
mm-hmm.
you know. And when we get to the point where we know and we declare, I'm not going to be mastered by sin. I might miss it. I might mess up.
Mm-hmm.
But this sin is not going to control my life.
That's
I'm gonna
right.
every day fall on my face and repent. God, I missed it. I messed up. But I want to get this thing right. I want
right,
to get this
right.
with you.
Amen.
So,
because at some point, Pastor, if you have the heart of God, you're going to be godly sorrowful when you do wrong against God.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's a problem when you're comfortable and don't want to change. There's a problem.
Mm.
God is a strong deliverer. There's
My
no
God.
Failure in Him.
My God.
He gives us an opportunity to turn from our wicked ways, seek His
yes.
face.
Because mm. we can get comfortable in our sin.
Exactly.
Because sin feels good. Let's just put it out there.
It does. but you get to the point where you're like, I don't want to go that way anymore.
Mm.
Been
mm.
there, done that. I don't desire to do that because God gives you a conviction. If you have
yes.
the Holy Ghost, God will begin to convict you when you do things that are not
right.
like Him.
Yes. And we got to get up out of that bed and said, you know, and when we think about women, you know, I always think about women when I do my book clubs and I go out and I talk women all over the place, and a lot of them are Christians. A lot of women that read my books are not marketed as Christian books. They're reading my books, and they're reading Zay.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I write, because Zay is erotica. If anybody knows she writes erotica and you get into those pages, it's going to become hot and steamy. You're going to pick up your phone and say, who can I call?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so y'all need to stop reading Zane, and you need to stop reading some of those other authors out there that are writing all that sex in between the pages of their books, because you're going to find yourself having sex in between the sheets of some man's bed.
Wow.
Or even your own bed. Mm-hmm. So we got to watch it, because the mind is a powerful thing. The mind,
yeah.
is thought that we got to call her. I know somebody was going to call eventually, but the mind is a powerful, powerful thing, and we just have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take this call, ladies. Amen.
Amen.
Area code 215, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman. Area code 215. Oh, I didn't unmute. Area code 215. I'm sorry. I didn't unmute you. You're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman. God bless you.
God bless you. Grace and peace. This is Pastor Sherry Jones calling.
Oh,
God bless you.
You. God bless you.
God bless you. I was just going to listen, but the sister said something, God is a mighty deliverer, and I just had to give a testimony to the fact that I was one of those persons out there in the homosexual lifestyle.
Mm.
And
praise
what
God.
I did, well, one of the things that happened was I said to God, if you won't change me, then this is who I am.
My God.
And I put up my fist and said, I'm gone. I left the church.
Jesus.
And was in a relationship for 5 years. But you know something that happened in each one of those years? God never let me go.
All right. Praise
God.
He would break in and say to me and just speak in my spirit. He said, you don't belong here.
All right.
This is not where you belong. And one day, he said, it's over. I heard him clear. He said, it's over.
It's over.
It's time to go. And my ex-lover said to me the next day, she said, you're leaving, aren't you?
She knew.
Now, you know, when God cuts a thing, the other person who's not of God, who's not spiritual, who, matter of fact, was a witch.
Wow.
And she knew it, but you know God made a cut.
Mm. My God.
Then I had nowhere to go. I didn't have a house of my own. We had moved in together, had our house and all of that. And God opened a way for me to get a house within 6 months.
My God.
I had my own house. I was out. And God took me through a healing process and ministered to me and let me see how I got out there and what happened.
Jesus.
And the first thing he dealt with me was, that wasn't your identity in the first place. You are not what you're tempted by. You are not what you're tempted by. You are not what the devil says you are. You are who I say you are.
Amen.
And so he took me through all of that and letting me see what my identity was in Christ and the lie that I had believed.
Mm.
And I had believed that lie from the time I was 12 years old. So, So when I heard that God's a mighty, he is a mighty deliverer, I just had to call in to testify.
Amen. Praise God.
That he will not, if you're his, he will not let you go.
And if you listen
to him, even in when you're out there, and if you listen to him and you follow what he says, he'll bring you out quickly.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And the healing process is wonderful. He made the cut. I've never been back. He just did it.
He made the cut. You never went back. You never even thought about going back.
No, I'm not going to say I didn't think.
You thought about it.
I thought and I was tempted.
Go ahead and testify.
I'm not going to say that I never was tempted and I never thought
Bless
about
God.
Going back.
Amen, amen.
That's not true. I'm saying when he made the cut, it was over with.
Mm.
Wow. Wow.
Anything that I tried or wanted or was tempted to do was manufactured by the enemy and my flesh at the time. Because, see, when you're familiar with something, you'll go back to what you're familiar with.
Yeah,
that's right.
You'll go on to the new thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I mean, God had to do a great healing, and then he would bring people in my life to help me with something.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how to be feminine.
Wow.
I didn't know how to be a woman. I didn't know how to dress. I didn't know how to wear makeup. I didn't know a whole lot of things. And so God sent women in my life who would do that for me.
Amen.
And who walked me through a process and let I have a friend, she would say to me, all right, ladies don't sit with their legs like that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Or you need to change the color of your clothing. You can wear colorful things. Okay, because you've never met me, you haven't seen me. I'm like 6'1".
Okay.
And so I was already tall and big anyway. So to get used to my own body image and my own sense of self, God took me through that, and
all
He will take anybody through that who's willing.
Yeah,
that's
right.
The healing process was wonderful. Thank you, sisters, for that time.
God bless you.
Now tell me your name again.
Sherry Jones.
What a powerful, yes, my friend from Philadelphia. A powerful testimony.
My God.
And I know that the internet waves have been blessed, and I know that somebody out there has heard the testimony on today, and that they know too now that God is a mighty deliverer, a mighty redeemer, and He can change you if you want to be changed, and even if you don't, because like you said, the whole 5 years that you were out there, God never let you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Ah, well, God bless you. Where is your church, Pastor Jones?
Here in Philadelphia.
The name and the time of your services.
A church without walls, and services on Saturday nights, actually, late afternoon.
Okay, and your address, your church address.
Address right now. Oh God. I know I don't know by heart. I know how to get to the building. Don't know the address by heart, but I can give you my email address if anybody wants to get in touch with me.
And what is your email address, Pastor
and
Jones?
Sherry.jones6@gmail.com.
Amen. Now, do you have a Blog Talk Radio? You do have a Blog Talk Radio.
Yes,
broadcast.
I do. I have We Would See Jesus, but it comes on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday nights at 11 p.m.
Yes, and that's blogtalkradio.com/
Sherry-Jones.
Sherry-Jones. Well, God bless you, Pastor Sherry. And I had told you earlier that I wanted to connect with you, and I definitely still do want to connect. So we will be in touch. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Y'all have a wonderful day.
God bless
you.
You
too. God
bless
you.
Bye-bye.
My God, what a powerful testimony from Pastor Sherry Jones. I'm so glad for women of God who have a testimony and are not ashamed to share their testimony.
Amen.
My God, hallelujah. And we have 2 minutes. If anybody else wants to call in, the phone lines are still open. We have time for one quick call, 646-652-4832. Hallelujah. What's one? Anybody have something to say right now?
This show is really moving fast today, and it's fantastic because we're talking about some provocative issues, and I love that. I love the fact that we can talk as women and get real about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And get real about it because these are things that people don't want to talk about. They don't want to talk about all this. They don't want to talk about the sexuality and struggles of sexuality because, you know, whether they're gay or heterosexual, what's wrong is what's wrong, and what's right is what's right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Amen.
And there are struggles. And there are struggles with sexuality.
Yes, and it's a struggle. It's a fight. It's a battle. You know, people say, the sexual issue is an issue. That the fact that we're highlighting the word struggle, to me sheds the right light on it because people are battling.
Right.
Yeah, but you know what I love about the testimony today in this last minute, what I love about the testimony that our sister Pastor Jones gave is that God is able, and God can take it away. And yes, she was tempted, but guess what? She resisted that temptation. And that's what we have to do. That's what makes it a struggle.
Right.
When we're not resisting, there's no struggle, is there?
Exactly. That's right.
So we have to resist the temptation at every turn. And when the devil came to tempt Jesus out of the wilderness, after Jesus gave him the word, and that's what we have to do, stay in the word and give
that's
the devil
right.
the word.
Amen.
The devil left him until what? Until an opportune time. So guess what? The devil's going to keep coming back. Amen.
Amen.
Especially when you're weak, he'll be back. But we only have 20 seconds. I know it's over. I want to thank everybody for listening in. We're not going to extend today. I know we should. We not should, but I know you want to, but we're not going to extend. I have surgery on tomorrow. Pray for me.
Yeah,
God bless
amen.
You all.
God bless you, Pastor.
We love you all, and I will see you all on next week right here on Woman to Woman on Blog Talk Radio. God bless you, Tina Michelle. God bless you, Prophetess.
God bless you, Pastor.
I love you both. Pray
love
for
you
me
too.
As I go on to surgery on tomorrow.
Yes,
and
yes,
you
definitely.
You see me next time, I'll be 20/20 in both eyes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise
amen.
The Lord.
You have a blessed day.
You too.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, my.